the middle of what I thought was a pretty good marriage. One day I decided to do something nice for my husband, and he kept saying something about needing forks for work, so he was lazy, he needed plastic forks. So I decided to put them in his gym bag for him, because he used that instead of a briefcase, and couldn't fit them into one pocket, so I tried to fit them into another. And that pocket was crammed too. When I finally opened the pocket, I found condoms, little miniature packets of lubricant, and cock rings. Now, the day was March 7th, 2002, and I found out that the man that I had been sleeping next to for 10 and a half years was gay. It couldn't have come at a worse time, I have to tell you. Not that there's a good time to find out that the man who's supposed to love, honor, and cherish you till death do you part is actually attracted to men, and you're both still alive. My father had just passed away a month before. He joined my mother in heaven. And but what was worse was that we were really deeply in debt. My husband actually made really good money, but you know, the more money you make, the more you spend. And I was just a struggling freelance writer, and I had no savings of my own, and no place to call home anymore, really, and no health benefits without him. So we decided to tell our friends that we'd be living together as roommates due to the extreme circumstances of our situation. Of course, they all thought we were nuts. But, you know, a lot of them said, well, you can try it, but you won't make it a year. And of course, I said, well, oh, wait, we have a 5-year plan to divorce. Now, the plan wasn't mine. It was my husband, Paul's. And Paul came up with it pretty immediately, actually. It was a little weird. But I was desperate, so I went along with it. He decided that, you know, he figured out our debt, and in 5 years, we could pay it down. And in those 5 years, after the debt was paid down, he'd be able to pay me decent alimony, which I'd earned in those 10 and a half years of being married to him and, you know, doing what he asked. And then we'd be able to separate and start our lives over single. So that sounded okay to me. But I'm not going to lie to you. That first year was hell. there was a lot of fighting, throwing things like tennis shoes in the middle of night. And we argued a lot. We said a lot of things we really can't take back once they're said. But eventually, I mean, I realized we weren't really roommates. We were mutual hostages. Things did get better, though, in about a year and a half. And I guess we developed a sort of Stockholm syndrome. You know, that thing that happens when you are kidnapped and you identify with the person that's holding you hostage and you think they're cool. Well, that's sort of what happened with us. After that happened, he got a little more comfortable. He decided he was finally going to come out of the closet. So he started going to these coming out meetings at the GLCCB. And for those of you who aren't married to gay people, that's the Gay and Lesbian Center in Baltimore. And he found a really great group of guys. And I was kind of feeling a little bit down, though, because I felt like I was living in my own closet. So I decided to find my own support. And I went online, and of course, Google's great, and I found the Straight Spouse Support Network. I know you didn't know that existed, did you? Well, I started going to the Straight Spouse Support Network meetings, and I found out actually there were a couple of them. There was one in Columbia, and there was one in Northern Virginia, in case I was too embarrassed to go to the one in Columbia. But I ended up going to the one in Columbia, and it was cool because I actually became friends with a lot of people there, and I met this really cool chick, Mandy. Mandy and I actually had a lot in common. Our husbands were both computer programmers. I think they even liked the same type of guys. I'm not really sure. But and we had both decided that we were going to remain child-free because our husbands freaked us out enough. So we became friends. And I remember the first meeting that I went to. As soon as I came home, Paul was kind of pacing the floor. And I thought that our little standoff had ended. But it really kind of started anew that night because he said to me, "So what did you do, just sit around and bash gays all night?" I said, well, what do you do at the GLCCB? Sit around and bash straight spouses all night and heteros? So I was a little mad that he couldn't be more supportive of me. But eventually, I got a little more confident going to these meetings because I met Tina. Now, Tina had knowingly married a gay man, unlike me and quite a few of the other straight spouses, and had a child with this man, and decided at some point that it was okay for him to date as long as he came back to her, and I guess whatever. I didn't want to know. But I decided to start dating, so I did, and I met this great guy, Rob, who was good for me in many ways because, unlike a lot of the other guys I had met, he didn't question my circumstances, and the only thing he really questioned was my 5-year divorce plan, which made a lot of sense. You know, he sort of said, do you think he can give you up in 5 years? Because 5 years is a long time to be married to somebody you don't really love. And, you know, is he really working this financial plan? I said, well, I don't know. So when I questioned Paul later, he got a little bit defensive, and then he said, I'll tell you one thing, you're not getting the house. I said, fine. I've worked out a plan, though. I figured out that most of the financing and refinancing that we had done to creatively take care of our debt was done by me, and it was all my name. So I was able to actually declare bankruptcy for myself and not include him. This was very concerning to my ex-husband because he's very narcissistic and was worried that it would affect him. So the day we had to actually go to the bankruptcy court, he actually had the nerve to speak up during my hearing and say something, and my lawyer said, this is about her, not you. Now shut up. Shortly after that, he began seeing somebody seriously. And the boyfriend that he met, he was 10 years younger. He wasn't really what I expected that he'd be attracted to. But honestly, I don't know what my husband would be attracted to in a man. But, you know, and I was cool with it until the day I noticed was coming down the stairs and he was brushing the hair off of his boyfriend's neck and he called him babe. And he said it in a way that was so tender and so sweet, and I realized, I don't think he's ever talked to me that way. He's definitely never called me babe. And I realized what all my friends were saying was true, that it was really time for me to leave. So, on the 3rd year anniversary of our mutual captivity, I looked at the calendar in the kitchen, and Paul was standing next to me, and I said, I think it's time for me to go. And so he, of course, disagreed because he's a controlling freak. But once he saw the house where I was moving to in Fells Point, he said, you can't live here. It's got a spiral staircase. You'll fall and break your ankle. And I said, oh, it's really not your choice anymore where I live. So I've been living in Fells Point for the past 6.5, no, it's been almost a year. My day of freedom was June 15th, and I don't make 5-year plans anymore because I realize a lot can happen in 5 years. So I'm just taking it one day at a time. Thank you.